I greet you this morning in the name of the one who said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." I feel privileged to be here this morning and to do that. No other name that I'd rather use and greet you with. First and the last, and he's everything in between as well. God bless each of us as we're here. And agree with Daniel that certainly someone here this morning that's enthused about the gratitude or has a grateful heart about what we owe God. May it not just be a lip expression, but may we really feel that way from our heart. I was sitting in a church service one Sunday morning, and as I observed the audience, looked out over the audience, there was someone there that really caught my attention. Now, to most everyone else, most other people, there was really nothing that eye-catching, really nothing that extra attractive to them. But to me, it was the most beautiful person in the world, and it was my mother. And I hope if you're here this morning and your mother's here, I hope that's how you find it as well. We owe our mothers something. There's really not, really probably no way that we can ever pay them back and reward them for what they have done in our life. Now, I am, of course, specifically referring to Christian mothers. I was privileged to have a very godly mother. And as long as God gives me a sound mind, she'll be that special person to me. And I certainly look forward to meeting her someday in eternity. So the message this morning is, I'd like to think of the message as a tribute to our mothers. And I also say to all the mothers here this morning, Happy Mother's Day. But may not just only this day be a Happy Mother's Day, but may you feel that happiness and be privileged to experience that throughout your journey and throughout your call in life as a mother. As I thought of it being Mother's Day here several weeks ago, I realized that the message would be on Mother's Day, or the message would be my turn to preach, as we say, still would be in Mother's Day. Not well, do we want a Mother's Day message, but it's like this. I simply would not feel right, to not preach on the subject, just simply because of my own mother, and let me add to that my mother-in-law as well. My mother was very special, and my mother-in-law was too. Used to be part of a society that threw many punches at mother-in-laws. And I suppose I chuckled with them many times. But I am here to say this morning, my mother-in-law never, ever caused my wife and I an ounce of problems in our marriage. And I believe she realized the value of allowing my wife and I to be husband and wife. So I certainly have. Honor the memory. Those of us who are mothers are not here with us this morning. We honor the memory of our mothers and our mother-in-laws and our family. I believe that God made something really special when he made mothers. Do you believe that? I believe he did. And I believe he really had something special in mind when he created, ordained, instituted mothers, even there in the beginning. So we owe them much. thank God, first of all, for mothers. And I want to make it very clear that we're not here to lift our mothers up above their Creator or above our God, above our Lord and Master. First of all, we lift Him up. Were it not for Him, we wouldn't have mothers. We wouldn't have what we have. We wouldn't be here this morning. So we always want to remember those things. It may sound at times like we're eulogizing or lifting up someone, and it's certainly not my intention to do that above our Lord and Savior. So we thank God for our mothers. It is God who made them, created them, who gave them. Without God, I repeat, there would be no mothers. Certainly not godly mothers. So we owe God. First of all, we owe God, and then we owe our mothers. And for just a little bit of an outline, it's a little difficult, this message, to know what all to bring into it, but I basically would like to just stay with paying tribute and honoring our mothers. There's many, many things, many, many messages we could preach to the mothers, and we may do that if the Lord gives us life and an opportunity in the future sometime. But the first point I'm going to call our attention to is just like to think of it as the biblical call of God to mothers. And for a scripture reading in that, I'm just going to read out of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We know the story of creation and how God made everything. But I call our attention to, especially when He created man and woman, especially the woman here this morning. In chapter 2, in verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him." Something, as we would term it, that was a proper help that could really contribute to him. And so God had a plan here. In verse 21 it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Isn't that wonderful? God, in His foreknowledge, He saw way, way ahead, much more than probably we would see. Appreciate so much that God saw the need for companionship and certainly for mothers. So we see here where God created the first mother, as we call her. Eve is often referred to as the mother of all. Well, then as we look at a couple verses, or chapter 1 of verse 28, notice that verse. It says, and this is probably not just in chronological order, but it refers back to about in verse 27, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. You see how God called them, created the woman, created the man, and then the woman for him. And he had, and he spoke a blessing upon them, and he gave them direction. Gave them direction here. He said, be fruitful, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And so, and then we go to chapter 4. Just want to notice verse 1 in chapter 4. This is now the man and the woman together. God had given them, had blessed them and given them direction. And we know, of course, in between then and now to chapter 4, they had transgressed and things had changed. But there was still some things that hadn't changed. In verse 1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I like to think about that verse. I don't know what you see in that verse, but as I think of mothers, and as I think of Eve there, and what had taken place now, and now God had blessed them with a man-child. And as I look at that verse, it seems to me that Eve is saying, this is really a fulfilling time for me. I picture her sitting there and you know, she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Sure, I'm sure the transgression was probably always in their mind. But where they were at now, I see Eve sitting here and holding this precious little son and saying, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And I just see fulfillment and just something there in Eve that she felt a sense of fulfillment. She felt like she's just where she wants to be. And I believe it was really a fulfilling moment for them, for Adam and Eve, as they experienced their firstborn there. Those of us who know German would probably use the word Gelassenheit for her. I think she was, in a sense, saying, there's really no place I'd rather be than right here. And mothers, I think if you're a godly mother, you probably know, in a sense, what that feels like. I think back of when my wife and I had our first child, and there was a sense of, there was something there that, you know, is hard to express, but there was a sense of fulfillment there. There was just something there. And I see that here in Genesis 4 there. I just get that picture of Eve sitting there, and there was something there. She was experiencing a fulfilling moment in life. I think she was where she wanted to be. Now, I believe that God seemingly has placed in a woman's heart the desire to be a mother of children. Now, I hasten to say, please understand, I don't think a woman needs to bear children to find fulfillment in life. Not at all. That's not what I'm saying. But by the same token, that I believe there's a sense of mother, there's a sense in which motherhood brings a fulfillment in life. And please, if you're here and you're not a mother, don't feel like, well, you're missing out something. God has a plan for every one of us. Please understand that. But we're directing this to mothers this morning. We're honoring our mothers and paying tribute to them. And I'm just blessed as I think about some of these things. I think there's that desire within a woman's heart to be a mother of children. I believe it's from God. I think God has placed it there. Now, we realize that desire and that satisfaction of being a mother and the mother heart has society and the ungodly women have strayed very far from that. But that's not what our message is this morning. But my emphasis, again, is we're speaking about godly women. I believe a mother heart is just simply part of a woman's makeup. I believe it is. It's just part of it. Thought of Psalm 113, verse 9, where he says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children." And I encourage you mothers here this morning, experience that. Be joyful in your calling. Be joyful. And you will be remembered. You will be remembered by your children, by those you have ministered to. Your work is not in vain. And as I mentioned, that there's about not everyone's calling is to be a mother and have biological children. But let me say this, there are many, many opportunities today all around us to be a mother, to minister to others, to be a mother that's beyond biological relations and connections. There's many opportunities. There's many children that need a mother's heart to minister to them. Whether there's biological connections, that's really kind of secondary. We had to talk about orphanages and children's homes and places like Galilean Home here in this country and so forth. It's really something. It's worth a tour there if you've never been there. We visited that while we lived in Kentucky. And truly, even though there's not biological mothers there, maybe as such, but there's many, many mother hearts there that reach out to those children. It's just amazing. And so, you understand what I'm saying, that there's many opportunities to show and to minister that mother heart, that instinct that God has put in your heart, even though you may never be blessed with biological children. And I'll give you an example in our own experience. I had an uncle and aunt by marriage that never had any children, and they're both gone now. But we had the privilege, of course, of spending many happy hours in their home. And I'll never forget. The uncle passed on before his wife. I've never forgotten what my aunt said to the undertaker when they were making up the obituary. And the undertaker, of course, as his formal manner was going over the list of writing up the obituary. And then he said, "What about children?" And my aunt just simply said, "We have no children." But then she went on to say this way, so sweetly, she said, "That is one blessing that God chose to withhold from our marriage." They've been married many years. But I thought it was so sweet. I've never forgotten that. She just said, "That's one blessing." And I expect the undertaker wasn't used to that kind of expression. So think about that. She just simply answered and said, "It's one blessing that God has chosen to withhold in our marriage." And he may do that in a marriage. But remember, God has a perfect plan. But what I want to say, in that same home, my aunt ministered her mother heart to us many, many times. Many, many times. We felt a mother heart there when we were in that home. So you understand what I'm saying? That mother heart is precious. And you can minister that mother heart to others. There's many opportunities, probably more than ever have been, to do that. Don't neglect those things. The second point here I'd quickly like to just look at a little bit is, you know, the Bible calls us to honor our parents. And I realize that our focus this morning is on mothers, but just a couple verses. One in the Old Testament, just like to note a couple verses. In Exodus 20, verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And then we fast forward to the New Testament. Paul confirms that in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 2. The confirmation is right there in the New Testament. It wasn't just an Old Testament thing, as we say sometimes. Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And then verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily guarantees you longevity in life, but I believe we understand what he's saying is there's a blessing there. And the opposite of that, there's a curse for those who dishonor and don't fulfill that. And let me just quickly say, the greatest honor that any one of us can do to our parents is to worship and serve the living and the true God. It's the greatest honor that any of us can do to our parents, even though there may be parents that don't see it that way. And then I can't help but mention just a little bit about the influence of mother. I would have loved to say a lot about that, but that is a message totally and by itself and probably can't even be covered in one message, the influence of a godly mother. I looked at that a little bit and there's just, yeah, it merits a message totally in itself. Just one statement in regards to that. Just ask the question, just tell us the thing. Just ask us to all consider, what individual has had a greater influence in your life, especially in your first 20 years of your life? What individual has had a greater influence than your mother? Sure, father was there, but I'm just saying, what had a greater influence? I to this day, I do not know how much and how that influence that I carry. You have probably seen results of it that I'm not aware of. But just think about that. Tremendous. And I say this to our mothers this morning. You may think, well, you wish you could change the world. Do you know that you have within your calling and within your hands, you have the ability to make a tremendous difference in the world? Many, many mothers have helped shape the world, both good and bad. And that's what I'm referring to when we talk about the influence of mothers. It's a vast subject. They've had the opportunity and they have influenced the world, both good and bad, simply through the influence that they have on their children. You may sit there and think, well, I wish I could change something. I call your attention to the fact that you have the resources to make a difference. As you raise your children, you have the resources within you. Or as you minister a mother heart, wherever God has called you. Another individual that I think of, and I'll probably never forget her either, not having known her personally, but read many about her, and that's Amy Carmichael. You've heard me mention her name. One of my favorite persons when I think of someone that had a mother heart and ministered to. Eternity will only reveal how much difference she made in the lives of children in India. And I challenge us with that this morning. Wherever we're at, we may think, well, I got to be here, or got to be there, or got to do this or that. Something has to fall in place before I can minister a mother heart. No, you don't. You minister that mother heart that God has put in you. What we owe our mothers, and I just have one thing to say to us as husbands here this morning too, to this side of the house, as husbands of godly wives and mothers. Thank your wife for being the mother of your children. If you have not done so today, I encourage you today, just make a point of thanking your wife to be the mother, for being the mother of your children. I believe it will warm her heart. Now, just for the last part here, I'd like to just exhort us or encourage us to show appreciation to our mothers. How can we do that? It's a tall order, isn't it? How can we show appreciation? Well, let me say, first of all, not just on Mother's Day. If you're just a Mother's Day person and you can flower her and do all kinds of things on Mother's Day, but the rest of the year you barely give recognition that she exists, what do you think, what kind of a message you think she's getting? And the challenge to us, I believe, this morning is to, not just today, but to do it every day. But, you know, we're just human enough that we probably need a day like today to draw our attention to get us back to base one sometimes and what we really owe our mothers. We could just say, well, I'm going to do that every day of our life. You know what happens when we take that approach? We're just human enough. When you take that approach to whether it's days, special days or whatever, most of the time you end up just drifting further and further away and you disregard those things. It's just about the way it works oftentimes. So I think it's very much in order that we have a special day to honor our mothers, because it doesn't just happen. But having said that, again, make it a daily, make it an experience in life for you. And in yesterday's paper, there was an editorial there. I'm just going to read a few excerpts from that in the local paper. It said, "Thank you, moms." And it just said, "Mother's Day is Sunday. If this is news to you, then our suggestion would be to quickly figure out a way to honor your mother that day." So even, you know, society, there's many people, praise the Lord, that realize that mothers, we owe our mothers something. But it went on to say then, "Mothers are the very best of us. They do so many things so often for us that it's taken for granted that they do." And read that. "They do so many things so often for us that it's taken for granted that they do." Yeah, we just take those things for granted. "Often, even when their children have grown up and become adults and parents themselves, our mothers still continue to want nothing more for their children," and I add, "and grandchildren, to be safe and happy." It doesn't stop. A mother's work is never done, is it? "So for at least one day a year, we turn the tables. We take mom out to eat. We give her gifts. We spend time with her, all to show that we really do appreciate her and what she's done." And as I said, I think it's in order to give special recognition, because if I just have the attitude again that, well, I'll do it every day, you know, we're just that way that we end up neglecting a lot of times. We just do, oh, yeah, well, we should do this and we should do that. And, oh, I've kind of forgotten about mom and so forth. And then the last, just one more statement here on this editorial. It says, "To all the moms out there, whether this is your first one as a mom or your 100th, we hope that you have the very happiest of Mother's Day and that you get what you all, and that you get what all moms really want, and that is to know that you're loved and appreciated." You know, mothers like that. Fathers like it too. We all like that. Someone said like that. Someone said once that fathers, you know, are, they pretend like, it doesn't mean that much when people fuss at them, but underneath they just purr like a cat. And that's, I believe there's a lot to that. We all do. So, what can we do to show our love and appreciation? I'd just like to challenge us, encourage us in that, not just on Mother's Day, but other times as well. We show our love with words, cards, notes, just simply being there for them and their needs. Do things for them. Be aware of their needs, especially as the aging process sets in. There's many things about growing older that are not all that pleasant. Now, that doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? I don't mean it that way. Don't dread getting old, but grow old graceful in the Lord. But what I am saying is, you know, we have our limitations. We can't do things. And those things really stare us. You know, it just does. And we're just human enough. And if you're like me, you need to make notes to remind yourself of, you know, I should do this. This needs to be done. This needs to be done. Or that needs to be done. If not, we're, again, like I said, we're just human enough. We tend to forget those things and we go our way and And first thing we know, time slips by and we've forgotten this and forgotten that. Now, I'll give you an example in my own experience. My mother was a widow for many years. My father died at a fairly young age, and so Mom was a widow. She had chose to live the rest of her days in widowhood, and we respected that. But, you know, I needed a reminder. And I'll just give you one example that I did, and it was because of my humanity, and I felt I needed it. But there is a song, maybe some of you know it, maybe you don't, maybe you're not familiar with it, but it's Rocking Alone in an Old Rocking Chair. And I had a number of years ago when we lived in Kentucky, and my mother's no longer living. She's no longer living. She's been gone for a number of years. But she died when we were still in Kentucky. But what I did just as a reminder for my own self, and I'll just share it as, you know, things we can do. I got someone just to take a large poster board, and they wrote this song on, Rocking Alone in an Old Rocking Chair. And I hung it in my office there in our business in Kentucky. And for a number of years, I'm sure Jay probably remembers that, I had it in my office. And when I sat at my desk, I would look at that poster. And it reminded my mom, and I'm sure it helped me many times to think of her and do things for her. But I'm going to read that just to stir our minds here. Rocking alone in an old rocking chair. It says, sitting alone in an old rocking chair, I saw an old mother with silvery hair. She seemed so neglected by those who should care, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. Her hands were all calloused and wrinkled and old. A life of hard work was the story they told. And I thought of angels as I saw her there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. Bless her old heart, do you think she'd complain? Though life has been bitter, she'd live it again. And carry that cross that is more than her share, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. It wouldn't take much just to gladden her heart, just some small remembrance on somebody's part. A letter would brighten her empty life there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. I know some youngsters in an orphan's home who'd think they'd own heaven if she was their own. They'd never be willing to let her sit there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. I look at her and I think, what a shame. The ones who forgot her, she loves just the same. And I think of angels as I see her there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. Some of you, I think there's a few of you in here, at least listen sometimes to Duke Duval's Inspiration. Now, I very seldom do, but all of a sudden this morning, I thought about it, and I thought, I'll bet he has something on about Mother's Day. And I encourage you to just take the time and listen to what he has on. He has a little account on there. That certainly is a challenge and reminder. It's very good. Encourage you to do so. If you think about it, listen to the inspiration of that he has for today, and it has in regards to Mother's Day. Now, again, I'd add to this here that she doesn't have to be your biological mother to minister to her. You know, you think of someone that you know that's lonely, or maybe her family has neglected her, or they don't do for, you know, they're not there for it. Well, you can respond in different ways. You can think, well, she's not my mom. Yeah, it's too bad. Her children don't really, I guess they never come around. What about you? Don't you have a responsibility? Don't I have a responsibility? We certainly do. You see, God has not, the honoring of mothers, God has not limited that just to our biological ties. We're to have a ministering heart. We're to reach out, and we're to have a ministering heart. And I expect, Alan and Rhoda, when you go to Africa and that culture, you're going to probably see a lot of opportunities in regards to some of those homes and things that are in shambles and not as they are. But anyways, I just encourage you. And there's so much we could say about that, but I have some other things here we want to take care of too. There's one more thing I'd like to read here. And excuse me. And this one is titled "Flowers for Mama." Now, I don't know if you're familiar with that song. It goes back to the 60s. And yeah, but I have appreciated that song. That song always touches me throughout the years. And it's still, I guess it's still being sung. I don't know. It used to be sang by one of the country stars. But anyways, it goes "Flowers for Mama." And I'm going to read it here. And the words, to me especially, they go very deep. And I think it's, again, something that should really, really speak to us. I paraphrased it just a little bit here. I'll read this here. And this is what it says. It's a song. I'll read it. "I brought flowers for Mama today, but it's not Mother's Day. I don't have no money, not even a dime, but I brought Mama flowers like I used to all the time. Every day I'd pick flowers from this pretty hill, a small box of daisies and a few daffodils. I'd bring them to Mama at the end of the day and say, 'Flowers for Mama, here's Mama's bouquet.' They'd brighten her face and she'd hold me close. She'd say they are more precious than a million, than a beautiful rose. And she wore a smile sweeter than millions of flowers, a smile that I'll carry through life's darkest hours." And then it goes on to say, "Now Mama was lying there. Yes, she had passed away. And she was surrounded by flowers that outshined my bouquet. I know mine aren't fancy, but still all the while, as I placed them on her hands, I know I saw Mama smile." And then it says, "Flowers for Mama, I picked them today. Not very much, just a simple bouquet. Mom wasn't fancy, but up there above, she's the prettiest flower in God's garden of love." I think that's beautiful. That really touches me, and I still love that song. All right. So we've sat here and we've looked at these flowers, haven't we, for the last, whatever, hour and a half. But let's not just look at these flowers. How much good do they do if we just have them up here and we look at these flowers and say, "My, they're pretty." We can do that in life, you know. And that's all the further it goes. But it becomes more meaningful, doesn't it, when we really give someone we love a flower. And I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that with these flowers. I'd like to do something with them, more than just have a display here. So I hope we can do this without too much disorder. As far as how we want to proceed here, this is what I'd like to do. Well, first let me say this. We chose pink, and we knew we had to have a color, but pink, as I, you know, you can Google anything today, as you well know, but pink denotes gratitude and admiration, among other things, but it does. It's fitting for mothers. Also, grace and elegance. So, decided that pink would be an appropriate color. So that's why they're pink, if you're wondering why we have pink roses. I think they signify, mothers, how graceful and how beautiful you are and how we admire you and the gratitude we desire to show. So what I'd like to do here is just simply... I'll go over the order here and see whether you can make sense with it. In passing these flowers out, I'm going to ask all the mothers here to stand. Then, then we'd like to have the oldest child of each family. It's a little tough because I know your children would all like to give your mother a flower, I'm sure. But we can't. It doesn't work. So I'd like to have the oldest child of each family take a rose here, pink rose, and give it to your mother, and you can express whatever you want to. If you feel like giving her a hug, well, that's okay too. But like to do that. The oldest child of each family that's present here with their mother, take a flower and give it to your mother and make whatever expression you want. If the oldest child is not present, then of course we'd move down the line, the next child in line. All right, well, thank you to everyone. It was touching to me to see that. It just really blessed my heart. And may these flowers, the very act and these flowers continue to minister to you mothers and bless your hearts as you go from here. I'd just like to say on behalf of all everyone here that we love you. Okay, let's all stand together for prayer.